from them.
Don't change that dial. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air. Tony, I have a question. What's a dial? Radios don't have dials anymore.
I know, John, but this is a throwback from my old days.
I mean, what are you talking about? Don't touch that dial.
I knew someone was going to come up with that someday.
I mean, come on.
All right, I'll change my spiel.
I just figured I'd point it out. You know, there are people who don't even know what a standalone radio looks like, let alone a dial.
You got me. You got me again, Palmer.
Let's listen to Al.
Next week there'll be a different spiel.
We'll see. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find. You realize how long I was waiting to ask that question? Let's remember that He loves us, and let's thank Him. When the task seems way beyond us, and we're going to be talking about the power of prayer. The power of prayer. That's what Al sings about. And with all of our teasing back and forth, Tony, that's what we talk about all the time.
All the time.
So, Ed and Annette, welcome.
Thanks a lot, John.
It's
great to be here with you again. And it's... wonderful opportunity to share about what we've been doing lately.
Good. And I know you two guys are big prayer warriors. You go all over the world praying. P-R-A-Y, not P-R-E-Y. And that's wonderful. Annette, welcome too.
Thanks so much, John. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, you're welcome. And it's a pleasure and honor to have you guys here. I can see Palmer's on the ball today. He's sharp as ever.
Well, you know, the praying business is an awful difficult one, because while you pray for people, you're constantly attacked by evil outside or before your prayer meetings or whenever you pray for people. So you have to stay in touch with the Lord. And you've been praying all over the world. Can you think of some unusual or different experiences that have shown the power of prayer? If it's up to you, whatever you wish.
Yeah, thanks, John. Certainly unusual. Our ministry is characterized by the unusual, I would say. And also the joy of the Lord, because from prayer flows the joy. Mm-hmm. So even in the midst of persecution, there's joy because of the power of the Holy Spirit within us. But that's, of course, staying close, staying in touch with our source, which is Jesus Christ and the power of His blood and the power of His resurrection. And the descent of the Holy Spirit and receiving the Holy Spirit within us, you know. So I guess just to talk about unusual, I guess I'll talk about just the most recent, because that's always the thing that's on my mind. And that was a woman who had infections, long-term infections that couldn't be resolved. Finally, they found out she had an abscess on her gland. Hmm. And she was going for surgery to remove the gland. That was just this week. And the husband contacted us for prayer. She went into surgery. And she came out in the recovery room. The doctor came to her and said, well, when we went in there, we found out there's no abscess on the gland, so we didn't have to remove it.
Wow.
So she said, well, the patient said, what do you attribute that to? And she said, well, I don't know. And she said, well, I know. The patient said, I know. It's God.
That's right.
And it's the power of prayer.
A year ago, all of you know Marita Doherty.
Yes.
And
yes.
Marita... was diagnosed with lung cancer. And she was told by doctors she had 3 months to live. And she was on just a couple of weeks ago. And we prayed with her. And the word was, listen, you're going to have this removed, but that's it. You're going to be fine. Anyway, the doctors, she went to another doctor and she had her surgery. And the cancer was completely encased. So when they took it out... They took it all out, you know, and she lost part of her lung. But she was still recovering and wondering what's going to happen next. This past
yesterday, Friday. Yesterday.
She called both of us to tell us that she's gone for her test, and they said she's cancer-free. Cancer-free, and she doesn't have to come back for another year. Power of prayer.
The power of prayer. And a lot of testimonies of healings of cancer. Just recently, I think last weekend,
I had somebody call in. We have prayer cards available for folks, and they were calling in for more prayer cards. A friend of theirs was in the hospital with cancer, and they wanted to send them a prayer card. So during our conversation, she mentioned that the two other folks that she had sent prayer cards to, one had cancer, and after they received the prayer card, that they were completely healed of cancer. They're totally free from a level stage 4 cancer. And then the other person was recognized as a stage 8 cancer, which I'm not exactly
marker 8.
And now they're down to marker number 1. So we praise God for his healing power.
Just about a week or two ago, maybe a little longer than that, there was a healing service at St. Aidan's, and they had the glove of Padre Pio there. And a woman came in saying she had a blood disease, and she was talking to Techie Jonides, who runs that group, with a couple of other women. And she said, I know if I would just get a drop of the blood of Jesus, I would be healed, right? And so, fine. Came time for the communion of Mass. She went up and received the host, and she never takes the chalice. But that night she did, and the deacon was standing there with the chalice, and he looked in the chalice, and he said, there's only one drop of blood here, and this is from Jesus to you. And she went back, and all of her cancer markers are turning around.
Thank you, Jesus.
I mean,
praise you, Jesus.
When you think of the power of prayer, just putting yourself in the presence of God. And
just as a reminder, John, they're going to be on our show at the end of the month.
That's right.
With the relic of Padre Pio. That's Lisa and Michael.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to it.
So what are you two guys up? You world travelers, what are you two guys up to?
Tell them.
Well, we're headed for Uganda in, I guess, about 8 days.
Is that in Suffolk County?
Uganda's really a key place, because it's surrounded by Sudan, which is, a place of great contention right now. A lot of strife, a lot of spiritual strife. The Congo, which has had a horrific history. They've had the slaughters there from the war exceed like the world war numbers.
Wow.
And we have Rwanda to the south, Burundi. So it's key. It's in the center of a lot of regions. And if you think of even what happened in Kenya with tribalism, Kenya's to the east of them. So it's a very key place. And it's considered, Winston Churchill called it the Pearl of Africa. And the place where we go, which is Kisesi, is considered the Pearl of Uganda.
Mm.
So, of course, we think of the Lord and the Pearl of Great Price. You know, there's nothing, he gave everything. He gave everything for us, that we were his pearl of great price. And we believe right there, when we go to Uganda and we see the people there and the needs that they have, we say faith without works is dead. So the Lord's calling us to do a work there in Uganda. And now we've just been given 20 acres of land by the bishop.
Wonderful.
We're going there to meet with the people to build an orphanage. So, you know, the Lord says, you take care of the orphan, I'll take care of you. So again, it's going to be another miracle. It's going to be built by miracles, nothing less, because we're a very small ministry, as you know. But we serve a king who has great influence. And when he wants something done, he brings together the resources for that to happen. So that's what's coming up immediately, I guess you say,
and
John.
Then you're going from there, Ed? You're going.
Well, we're headed for Rome right after that, and we're going to be doing our Rome prayer walk, which we've been doing for the past 15 years. It's amazing to realize.
What is the prayer walk?
Well, the prayer walk is a week period of time where we meet with priests and leaders in Rome, and we pray with them and encourage them. There are many young students there. that have been selected out of their diocese to be chosen for higher education. And when they come there, they have a difficult time. It's a cosmopolitan city, and many of them are coming from the bush. So they have a lot of challenges in a cosmopolitan city, you know, dealing with different food. The majority of the instruction is in Italian, and for the most part, they don't have Italian. So there's many things to combat, you know, finances for them.
They don't have money. We have a friend, Father Casimir, who's over there now, and he's finishing his doctorate, and he has no money.
Right.
They most of them walk to school because they don't even have money to get on the bus, you know. So they may be getting a scholarship to come with housing. They'll give them housing and give them their class, but doesn't give them the pens and the pencils and the books. And, you know, where does money come from when it's not there, you know? So.
But the amazing thing about you two guys, and the thing that amazes me the most, is that when God calls, you answer. You hear him. And when he tells you, go here, you guys are going. And Uganda is not an easy place to go to, and it's not an easy place to survive. Isn't it a rather dangerous place?
It is dangerous. I think one thing that we had to settle a long time ago is God sent us to, and does send us to a lot of places that are difficult, is you have to, if you're going to give your life to him or not. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, are you playing around with religion? Or are you really giving your life to God?
If he calls, you're responding, irregardless of where it is and what he's asking you to do. But the main thing is that you hear him. Mm-hmm. And he calls so many people, and so many people don't hear him. Mm-hmm. But you're open. Your heart's open to him.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I guess always, the Lord is always challenging. He always wants to move us forward. So there's always those temptations that we all face to decide not to hear him this time. You know, and we have to face that, you know, when there's something new on the horizon, you know, like for us, for our ministry, which we consider a very grassroots ministry. But now the Lord has chosen to raise up Bridge for Peace in South America and in Europe and all over the world.
Australia.
So, and
I want, but just before you go further, would you tell people how you began? Because they may not know.
You took it, you know, you beat me to it, Palmer.
You go back to your dial.
Well, I think the best way to explain how we began is for Annette to give her testimony about how she was healed. So that really is our beginning.
Yeah, we began really out of prayer, but I had heavy sudden onset rheumatoid arthritis, which meant really I was crippled with arthritis at 34 years of age, where I was dragging my leg behind me. So people don't realize, I didn't myself realize how serious arthritis is. Even just in our last mission in Australia, a woman came up to me and she said, Annette, I wish you would have been here. My nephew was 38 years old, died of arthritis. And I was like, I wish you would have called me. I mean, I thought to myself, I didn't say to her, but I said, I wish I would have been there too. So people don't realize that you actually can die from arthritis. And when you can't move around, you know, to me, the depression, the inability, and then you look at the future. And for me, I was 34 years old. The only answer was more medication. There's no cure. It's incurable and deteriorating. But I went to be prayed for. And I just, you know, the story's on our website. I guess I'd say it that way because it's a little involved. But after a period of months, I came off of all of my prescription medication. I was totally healed through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That was the only answer. And then subsequently, I had a severe car accident where I was told I was going to be bedridden. I was having seizures. I was losing weight because my body was so traumatized. I couldn't gain any nutrition from anything I ate. And they say it's deteriorating. It's inoperable. But we held on to Jesus Christ. And then through prayer, it's all through prayer, listening, waiting on him. He told us he wanted us to move into the healing ministry. He just started saying things to us, want us to build the healing center. I'm bedridden, saying, yeah, Lord, fine, we'll do it. Ed and I are just, yes, Lord, yes,
just
Lord.
Just get me out of bed.
Yeah, well, I tell you, honestly, we weren't even thinking about that because even though there's so much pain, I mean, My doctors, some wanted me to go on codeine. My other doctor, I thank God for him, said, Annette, you'll be a drug addict if you do that. That's what'll happen. So, you know, I know what it is to roll around on the floor in pain. I know what it is. Ed and I have compassion. We've been through a lot of illness, a lot of debilitation. The answer's always been the same, no matter what it's been. The cure's always been Jesus Christ. The remedy's always the cross of Jesus Christ, no matter what the problem's been. And we've faced a lot of problems in our lives. So for us, it's prayer. It's prayer, Tony.
I want to point out James 5:15 says, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other, so that you may be healed.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that says it all.
Yes.
But
he also takes care of you financially. Tell people about how you got your house and where you are now in, out
John,
on the island.
You're asking them to give all their secrets
out. Know,
I
know.
Come on, have a heart.
Well, why not? Because it's all the power of prayer.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, that's right, John, exactly, yes. The power of prayer. And the Lord had directed us to build a healing center. And that was really 20 years ago after the automobile accident. And now we have the healing center, and we praise God for that. And we have, as Tony was sharing, we have, Bridge for Peace around the world, you know, and it's really a blessing, you know. And from the, the prayer walk in Rome, right now there are 30 priests gathering to pray together, even when we're not there. So it's really exciting to hear about these things that people are encouraged through the power of prayer to follow through on that and have more contact with God, and we just encourage them to do that.
Financially, you can trust Him; He's
absolutely
trustworthy. He says, "I'll provide all of your needs according to my riches and glory." He is trustworthy. Whatever He calls us to, He provides. Even when we're looking now at the home for orphans in Uganda, I mean, we haven't got any visible wherewithal to see that place constructed, but we didn't even have land. We weren't even looking for land, and the land was given. Once the Lord spoke to us that He wanted the home, we started praying, and when next time we were in Uganda, they said, don't talk about land, we're giving you land. That's God. You know, God's giving the land for His purpose. So the main thing for us is when we look in our checkbook, we could look at every line and know that every check we wrote was written under the call of the Lord. You know, that we're spending His money. You know, that checkbook is His money. We're spending His money the way He wants it spent. That's our comfort, even if you look and say, well, where's it going to come from? Frankly, we don't even say that anymore. We said that for a lot of years, but we've got over 20 years experience to know He provides where He calls you. He provides for it. So even with the orphanage, whatever, I don't have the emotional energy or the space in my thought process to think about where's the money going to come from. We just know it'll come. You know, God always... for us, it's always He invites you to the Philippines. He invites you to China. He invites you to places. And then He waits to see, are you going to say yes or no? He does it. You know, some people say, well, if I get the money, I'll go. We never say that. We say yes, unconditionally yes. Even sometimes He showed me like a dark window, smoky window with people behind it. And He's like, will you go? I said, well, where is it, Lord? He says, without knowing where I'm going to send you, will you say yes? I say, yes, Lord, unconditionally, yes. Send me, I'll go. So that's the first thing, to say yes to the will of God. Say, yes, Lord, yes, I will serve you. Then after that, you will see the provision.
And you've seen people pray all over the world. And isn't it the same process? He says, will you follow me? And you say, yes. Do you see any differences in the cultures around the world in terms of their prayer life or how they trust in God? What do you see?
Yes, you do see a difference.
What do you see?
I have to say that in Uganda, the dedication to the Lord is tremendous. You know, the people have... very little to live on. They're predominantly subsistence farmers, but their prayer life is vivid and alive, and they do amazing things. You know, we plan a prayer vigil here, and they schedule them for an 8-hour time slot, and they go for the for days and days and in preparation for the prayer time and during the prayer time. So they don't want to miss anything that the Lord has for them.
You know, one of the things that just came to my mind when you asked that, John, was a woman that we prayed for, I'm going back, I think, 6 years ago. She had had a stroke. She was in her 70s, which is very old in Uganda. And
thank God it's Uganda.
Yeah. And when we prayed for her, she was laying on the ground. We prayed for her. She started to bend her legs. She hadn't been able to walk. She got up. She started walking. She started praising the Lord. Now, we didn't know she wasn't able to talk before that as a result of the stroke, but she was praising God. And what they told us happened after that was she got on the road, went village to tell what God had done for her. Yeah. And that's where I see really that we miss it a lot in the United States. You know, God does things for us and we don't tell anybody about it. You know,
we take it for granted. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we don't even recognize that it's God.
Right.
You know, and that's really an amazing thing.
That's the important thing, John. For us to recognize, that God is calling us. How do we do that? How do we know it's God calling us?
Well, and I don't know about you, but if I
I'm asking you. Tell me. I want to learn.
I just know interiorly I have peace, and God is saying, John, this is what I want you to do. For example, now, with the prayer groups all over Long Island, there are in the English-speaking aspect of the church in Long Island, and there are over 200 prayer groups, Charismatic, Marian, etc. And he has put on my heart an agenda of prayer to go all across the island to prepare all of our parishioners in the diocese to be ready to evangelize the Catholics. And he has several things he wants done. And I've started this process. The first is every prayer group, especially charismatic prayer groups, do a one-day Life in the Spirit seminar between Easter and Pentecost so that they will light up like a Christmas tree all over the diocese, letting evil know that Jesus and the Spirit and God the Father is alive throughout our diocese. Secondly, all those who are Marian people, devotion to Mary and don't really want to do the charismatic thing, would they please, on a daily basis, say an extra rosary a day for the specific intention of evangelizing Catholics and non-Catholics on Long Island to the fact that Jesus is alive, and those who've been away from the Catholic Church to bring them back. Thirdly, a message given out all the time, monthly sacrament of reconciliation. Even if you don't feel you need it, you go to the sacrament of reconciliation so that all barriers within you can be cleared away so that you could be open to the next step, which is daily Eucharist. If not daily, at least weekly reception of Eucharist, again for the same intention, evangelizing Long Island, evangelizing Long Island. And for those who can get to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, try to do it at least once a week. But he says in my heart, if you will come to me in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament 1 hour a day for 40 days, I'll change your life. I'll change your life. Now that's my agenda at the Office of Renewal for the Diocese. I got it in prayer. How do I know it's from God? I don't. But I have a sense. Hey, I can even feel the fire in me as I'm talking about it.
But the point is, when God talks to us, we need to know it's God. We need to accept it. We need to listen. And God talks to us in all different ways. Mm-hmm. He talks to you with a word gift. He has other gifts he gives to Annette and to Ed. To me, he talks a lot in word, but he also talks in pictures. And we have to know that. We have to be able to accept it and to recognize it.
Right. And, you know, prayer, I'm on a...
We got him on a roll. We got him on a roll now.
Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is listening for God in your heart. St. Catherine of Siena used to say her prayer life was, listen, God, your servant is talking. And she said she learned that it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. Speak, God. Your servant is listening. So you have to listen as right. well.
And I think we have to be assured that the word says, my sheep know my voice. So I think we have to be assured, number one, that God wants to speak to us, that he loves us, and he wants to speak to us. He doesn't want to just speak to special people, quote unquote, but he wants to speak to every one of us on the face of the earth, created in his image, so that he is speaking, number one, and that he wants to speak to us personally, and that he says, my sheep hear my voice, and that is, as John is sharing, listening. But a lot of people, you know, because I am a spiritual director, a lot of people might come in and say, you know, I don't know what God wants here. I'm not hearing from him. He's not talking to me. And yet you have an hour session at the end. They recognize, yes, he has been talking through the scriptures, talking through people that they've met, talking through songs, talking to them. But sometimes we don't recognize it because I think many of us don't believe God would speak to us. When we know that, we come with that confidence.
And he taught us his first prayer. And he had Jesus. Let's listen to the prayer he taught us. From Jesus, you know. I often think with the politicians, we should put together a commercial from Jesus where he talks about, I offer you peace, love, joy, happiness, and it goes on and on and on, and ends up by saying, I'm Jesus the Messiah, and I approve of this message. You know?
Good, John.
Tell us about what's coming up for you guys.
Well, John, we're having what we call our Chow Roma dinner, and it's going to be on Saturday, January 21st at 6 p.m. at St. Margaret's of Scotland in Selden. And it's a support for our Rome prayer walk. It's an old world menu of all different types of Italian things. Some really great food, you know, the great food, Italian food that we have here on the island. And we're having some great samplings of those ziti, linguine, eggplant, meatball, sausage, a real really wonderful desserts too that the ladies are going to make. So it's $25 for adults and $10 for children, and you can call into our office at 631-730-3982 and get a ticket. So it's going to be next weekend, so we're looking forward to that.
Are you and Annette doing the cooking?
And other women.
No.
Are.
No. Are you going to have blend? Are you going to have blend? Blend is an old Italian food. It's like a pasta, and it's like grain with gravy on it.
I'm afraid not, Tony.
Yeah. If you come and make it, Tony, we'll have it.
I want to get back to our topic of the power of prayer. Okay. And I know that you have Saint Elizabeth Seton today.
Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton today. And I have her on. I've selected her for many, many reasons. And One of the reasons was that she was the foundress of the parochial school system in the United States. And with all the troubles going on with parochial school and our diocese and other dioceses, I thought it would be nice to tell a little bit about her. So she's the patron saint for teaching, and she's the patron saint for sharing, and she's the patron saint for parochial school. So those children that are being stranded and the parents may want to pray to her. But also, she reflects so perfectly in tomorrow's readings, and also reminds me so much of Annette and Ed, or answering God's call. And just like in tomorrow's readings, and when Jesus called, went to John the Baptist and passed by, and he says, "Thus is the Lamb of God." And Andrew and his brother followed him and asked Jesus, and Jesus says, "What do you want?" And they said, "We want to know where you live." And he says, "Follow me." So we heard him, just like you guys are hearing Jesus. And Jesus is saying, "Follow me," and leading you to do his work. So I thought it would be good to talk a little bit about Saint Teresa, Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton. She's the first American saint, by the way. And she was born in New York City, and she was an Episcopalian, very staunch Episcopalian. And she married William Seton, who was very rich. By the way, St. Anne was very young, very beautiful, very popular. And she was always invited to dinners and dances by young, eligible bachelors. But she fell in love with William Seton. He was an heir to a wealthy family at the age of 19. And so with her sister-in-law, Rebecca, she went on missions of mercy to help the poor widows and children of New York, earning them the nickname of the Protestant Sisters of Charity. Her husband, however, contracted tuberculosis in 1803, and because of that, their wealthy business failed, and they had to go bankrupt. And so they went to Italy for the husband to recuperate. The only problem is when they got there, they wouldn't let them off the boat because there was a plague going around. And they thought that they were carrying the plague, and they had to stay on the boat for a month or two, just isolated there. Finally, they did get out. And months later, her husband died in Piazza, Italy. And though she continued to believe that the tragedy set forth her would one day lead to some good, she sort of believed that there were fruits in all these tragedies and all these things that are happening, that there were fruits that we don't know. And so while in Italy, Elizabeth was taken in by her husband's friends and introduced to the Catholic religion. And upon returning to New York City, she joined the Catholic Church. And while she returned to the Catholic Church, she heard a new calling, and she was looking to a new future. So Elizabeth, and she had five children, moved to Maryland, where she opened a school for girls and formed a community based on the rules of the Sisters of Charity of St. Vincent of de Paul. The rule was officially adopted, and the Sisters of Charity became America's first congregation of women religious. Elizabeth was named Superior, and she worked to establish St. Joseph's Academy, a school, the first parochial school. And for the remaining years of her life, Mother Seton, as she became, and as she was called, and the sisters worked tirelessly to teach children and establish orphanages, including orphanages such as what Ed and Annette are going to do. So you follow very closely into Satan's path, I guess. And though, in through the love of Christ, they brought education to the poor and the groundwork for the parochial school system in the United States. Elizabeth had no extraordinary gifts, except that when she was young, she was beautiful, and everyone liked her. And she was not a mystic, or she didn't have any stigmatas. She did not prophesy or speak in tongues. She had two great devotions, Jesus and God. And she opened her heart to Jesus, and she listened to what he had to say. And so she wrote to a friend that she would prefer to exchange the world for a cave or desert, but God has given me a great deal to do. A great deal to do, like they gave to you two guys, like he's given to you two guys. And I have always and always will prefer to do his will, no matter what the consequences. And so if we love God, we will do his will. And so that's the short story of Saint Mother Seton.
You know what that says to me, though, too? When you say yes, you don't have any idea where it's all going to go.
That's true.
I mean, here's a gal, just like you, Annette, and got a calling to do, after her husband died, she was probably devastated, left with five or six kids.
Kids, and they had the world at their feet. They had money, they had a business, and it all went kaput.
So she lost everything, but she obviously turned in prayer to God and then started schools. And yes, look at what's happened to the Catholic schools. They grew, and now they're shrinking again. Why? We don't know.
No,
but we know that God is involved in everything, and if he wants them to flourish again, they will, if we turn to prayer.
And her motto, just so I'll end with her motto, was that she will do the will of God because it is his will, no matter what the consequences. And that's what she told her sisters.
And that's, what, of course, what the Our Father was all about, huh? You know, I'd like to use the last section of the show. I know it's 22 minutes left. What do you mean, the last section of the show, right? But, you know, we started with the Our Father. And I'd like to do the Jesus prayer that John Michael Talbot has recorded musically.
Love that song.
Yes, and then move into praying for your ministry, praying for the success of the evangelization that we're trying to do here on Long Island, and praying for our priests, because they've been so hurt by so many things that have happened to the priesthood. And I'd also like to pray for anyone who has been hurt by inadvertently or even overtly by priests and has turned them off to their church. So, Trevor, we're just going to play the music for the rest of the show and let it flow according to the way Jesus would like us to pray. And we'll think about that while we're sitting here. We all have microphones. You're all prayerful people. Let's just see what God wants here.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus Christ,
Mercy and His grace in you. We call upon you, Jesus. Go out over these airwaves and touch every listener. Touch them now, Lord, so they know you're with them. Praise you, Lord. And I want to extend the prayer, first of all, for Annette and Ed and Bridge for Peace in their ministry. And we ask you, Jesus, God the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bless Ed and bless Annette and their work. And we ask you now, all around the table, and Trevor in the other room, whatever prayers you wish to share, whatever the Spirit's putting on your heart, just share it and let God speak through you.
Jesus, I'm asking that those that you're speaking to, you let them know, let them recognize that you are talking to them, so that they know that it's you that is speaking to them. And they know that when you're speaking to them, they should listen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Even as we heard John Michael Talbot sing, Jesus, you are the Savior of the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you came to set the captive free. Thank you that you came, Lord, for the lost, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the ones even today feeling a sense of loss, feeling an emptiness, feeling a despair, feeling even a loneliness. Lord, that today they would know or pray that you came for them, Lord, and that you came that they would have life and have it to the fullest, a full life in you, an abounding life in you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you shed your blood and established a new covenant, Lord, for all that would call on your name as Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that today, through the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, I praise you and I thank you. And I pray that many would call on your name, just calling out your name, Jesus, the the most perfect prayer, the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that as they call on your name, as we call on your name, Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord, today, thank you, Lord, that through the power of our intercession as we stand in the gap, that many might turn and know you, Lord, and give you their lives, Lord, and give you everything, all the troubles, Lord, to roll them on you today, Lord, because you care for them, and to open their hearts to receive the fullness. Lord, today we just refuse to allow our mind to be taken up by worries and anxieties, because you have told us to be anxious about nothing. So we refuse today to be worried or anxious about anything in our lives, Lord. But you say through all things to turn in prayer and to make our needs known to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that today that we come to do that very thing. We need you in our life. That's our need, Lord. We need you. We need your word. We need your power. We need your love. So we thank you, Lord, and we praise you that you have said it's been freely given to us from the heavenly places. And we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that you've come for us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you abide in us. And we thank you, Lord, that our lives might produce the fruit that you, Lord, desire, that there be a fragrance of life surrounding us, Lord. And I thank you, Father. I thank you and I praise you that all these things are possible through the power of the cross and the new covenant established for us by Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, our perfect teacher, that you will remain and abide with us to show us the paths of life. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that we would have the courage, supernatural courage, of boldness to walk through the doors that you open for your glory. Thank you, Lord. Praise you.
And Jesus, we know, I sense a powerful wave of love being sent out across these airwaves and touching the hearts, the minds, the souls, and the spirits of every listener. Infuse in them, Lord, the power of your love. Infuse in them the graces that they need to walk tall today, to stand tall in your love, Lord. We know the pain that's out there. You know it even more than we. And Lord, we ask you, lift up every depressed spirit out there, everyone who's despairing and out of hope. Lord, give them the gift of hope that they so sorely need. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Lord, we just lift up the folks that have had some situation that has separated them from the church, that they've walked away because of some hurt that they experienced. And we just lift that up to you, Lord Jesus, that they could be returning to you, Lord God, that they could feel the touch of your heart in their lives, that they be renewed in you and be restored to the church, restored to their relationship with you, and break off the attack of the enemy in their lives that keeps reminding them of the thing that happened to them that separates them from you. And we speak peace in their lives now.
And Lord Jesus, we ask that you lift up the petitions of this radio show. We have a whole bag full of petitions, and there are so many petitions, and they're so varied. There are unemployment, people have lost their jobs, and we ask that you help let them find salvation. People have sicknesses, people have depression, people are looking to be converted. Every petition that you could think of, Jesus, we ask that we lift them up to you and that you hear them and that you listen to them and you help them. People with cancer and people with so many different diseases, and they're asking for your help. So we ask that you stay by their side. You help them. You guide them. You hold their hand. And you let them know, Jesus, that you are truly their best friend. And we thank you and give you praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus.
A lady listening today, and you're hearing all the words, and you're saying, why is the door not open for me? And I want to just speak to you today and just to say to you, you're the step, the next step for you is forgiveness. There's a need for you to forgive. The Lord won't force you to forgive, but if you want to receive from Him, forgiveness is like a wall standing between you and the Most High God, that your determination never to forgive that person that hurt you, your determination to avenge yourself in one way or another, that determination today, I just plead with you to surrender that now in the name of Jesus, to forgive that person in the name of Jesus Christ, to make a decision. It doesn't mean what they did was right. It doesn't mean you condone it, but to make a decision, because the Lord asks you to forgive, and your unforgiveness is standing in the way of your relationship with Jesus Christ. So I ask you today to make a decision to say, yes, for the sake of Jesus Christ, I will forgive them, and to forgive them today. And all the blessings that you are desiring, they're in a way hinging on your willfulness, because you will not surrender your will to the Lord, but you insist on revenge. You insist on meditating on the wrong that was done. And the Lord insists on your forgiveness. Come into right standing with Him today. Take the risk. In the name of Jesus, don't be held captive any longer to a spirit of unforgiveness, but trust Him. And as you just determine in your mind to forgive it for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the things that you have been longing for, the blessings that you've been desiring, the Lord who pours out blessings is pouring them out, but you cannot receive it because of the unforgiveness. It stands as a wall between you. So today, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the courage of the Holy Spirit in your heart to make the decision to say, yes, Lord, I do. I forgive them for your sake.
And I hear the words in my heart, let me in. Let me in. I am knocking as hard on your heart as I can possibly knock. I am alive. I am Jesus the Messiah speaking to your heart. These words are from my sacred heart to the surrender of the person who is speaking to your heart. I know what you need. I know how to heal you. I know exactly what it is that you must do. Forgiveness, yes. Patience, yes. A change of attitude, yes. I'm here speaking to you over these airwaves. Is that impossible? Yes. I'm a God of impossibilities. I'm here. Who ever thought that a man who was crucified could be risen from the dead? Who ever thought that a man who was crucified could live in a piece of bread and in a cup of wine and then share that within you? That's my impossibility talking to the impossibility of your mind and saying, you're wrong. Get out of my way. Let me talk to your heart. Let me talk to your soul. I love you. That's all that counts. And all you have to do is say yes. And I will rush in where fools dare to go.
And so it's so easy to let Jesus into your heart. As John, Dr. Palmer said, all you have to do is say yes. And bingo, the door opens.
That's right. We've been talking about the power of prayer. And we've spent, can you believe this? We spent 20 minutes of airtime praying? We gotta be nuts. We have to be totally nuts. And being a psychologist, I include Trevor in this group, we're all nuts. We're all crazy.
And we were thinking it was you that were nuts.
And we're all in love with Jesus. Bridge for Peace, we love you. We love your work, and we want people to support your activities. And even if they can't come to your dinner, can't they send you $25 too?
Absolutely.
What's your website?
Our website is bridgeforpeace.com. www.thepraying.org. And they, if you want to help us financially, that would be a wonderful thing. Help us with the Rome Prayer Walk and Ugandan Orphanage. That would be great. And if you can't do that and you would just like to pray for us, which is a wonderful thing, you can log on to the website and find out more about us, and also request a Rome Prayer Package where you can pray for the priest during that 1 week period that we do the Rome Prayer Walk. So go to Bridge for Peace, www.bridgeforpeace.org, and ask for a Rome Prayer Walk Package.
And we want to thank you, and we offer all of our prayers for you and what you do in Uganda and Rome and in Australia. And my gosh, I knew you when you were just in Wading River.
But you know what, John? I'm getting the distinct feeling we're sitting here amongst two saints. But aren't we all meant to be saints? Aren't we all called to be saints?
I'm hurt. Aren't you hurt? You excluded Trevor, you and me. There are five saints here.
I preface that. Aren't we all called to be saints? And as St. Peter said, what else is there?
Let's offer praise to the Lord as we go on. Trevor, you can turn that all the way up. We'll see you next week, folks.
That's why we came tonight.